Welcome, everybody, to a virtual Easter service. It's good to be with you this morning. It's good to have folks from both churches together. Thank you all for learning this new technology so we could be together. So while we're getting things set up, the first thing that I want to say is you may notice that the order for worship for today may look a little bit different than you're used to. What I tried to do was I tried to kind of blend Mount Nebo and Glenshaw Valley's orders for worship. At Mount Nebo, I usually preach in the middle of the service. At Glenshaw, I preach in the end. So I had to pick one, and I had to kind of go with it. So don't freak out if things look a little bit different. If you can blend the services. Yeah. Am I hearing music? Yes, Mark, I can hear you. Excellent. Cliff, can you mute everybody, please?
I'm having a hard time getting to that. Here it is. Okay.
Great. Thank you. So since we are kind of gathering together from two different congregations this morning, I thought I would take a moment to introduce everybody so that everyone kind of has a sense who everyone is. And by introduce everyone, I mean I will introduce the worship participants. So Mickey, if you could wave at the camera right now. Mickey is the music director at Glenshaw Valley, and she will be leading us in our hymns this morning. Mark, if you could wave at the camera. Mark is the organist at Mount Nebo, and he is going to be leading us in the offertory and that and a few other things. Arlie, if you could wave. Arlie is going to be our lay reader this morning, so she is going to do the scripture reading. And finally, Cliff, if you could wave. Cliff put together the PowerPoint this morning, so he's going to be controlling the PowerPoint slides. I learned on Thursday that leading worship and running the PowerPoint is kind of like trying to pat your head and rub your stomach at the same time. It doesn't always work very well. So Cliff's going to be running the PowerPoint. If you're having any technical issues during the service, there is a chat feature on Zoom. It should be like in the bottom middle of your screen. Send those concerns to Cliff, and if he's able to troubleshoot them, he will. Let's try not to be sending messages to each other through the chat during the worship service. Let's kind of limit that to if we have problems or questions. We don't want to be like passing notes during the service. All right. The first thing that we are going to do before we do our prelude is we are going to share our joys and concerns with one another. So just like in previous weeks, if you have a prayer request, you would like to share. Did I skip the prelude?
Yes, you did.
I did? Okay. I am so sorry. Let us begin our worship service today with our prelude. Mickey, go ahead.
Mark.
Or Mark. Mark, go ahead. Thank you, Mark. Let us transition to the sharing of our joys and concerns. If you have a joy or concern you would like to share, please either unmute yourself and share it with us, or send it to me in the chat and I'll share it with everyone.
I have a prayer request. My back has been really bad and it's going into spasms like crazy. It's making it very difficult to walk around at times and help cook and clean. So I'd like prayers that it settles down a little bit.
Excellent. We will pray for your back pain.
I would like to express a joy to see all this technology bringing us together from such a very old traditional church that it has branched out to so much more.
Yes, I am very grateful that this pandemic is happening in 2020 and not 1920. I have a prayer request. One of my friends, his name is Mark. He's an elder at Emsworth Presbyterian Church. He's been diagnosed with the coronavirus and he is in Passavant right now on a ventilator. So please pray that he would be able to come off of the ventilator soon. His wife also tested positive for the virus. She's at home recovering and seems to be doing okay. But she's not allowed to visit him and is kind of relying on check-ins from the nurses that they're really only able to give her once or twice a day. So please keep him in your prayers that hopefully he'll be able to come off the ventilator later today.
I have one more prayer request that I had just received early this morning. My cousin Wade, we prayed for him before, but he is in a nursing home in Oakmont and is not doing well at all. His cellulitis came back and it's pretty severe. So I'd like prayers for him for healing.
Yes, we will pray for your cousin. We will continue to pray for all of our essential workers, all of our healthcare workers. And I think this week, especially, we should pray for our educators. Public schools in Pennsylvania have been closed at least through the rest of the school year. And I know that a lot of our educators are really scrambling to try to get school online, and they're facing a lot of challenges. Not just having to translate what you do in a classroom to online, but not every student has internet access. So they're trying to figure out how to do it online and like with like packets. So yeah, I'm sure our educators could use our prayers.
A prayer.
We all what?
We all stand in the need of prayer.
Absolutely. All right, any other prayer requests this morning?
I pray that we still get to have an Easter, regardless of it still being fine, which is nice. So we still get to have our service, and you know, regardless if we won't be having a lot of things or be seeing relatives, I'm happy at least we get to do still like Easter egg hunts and have the baskets and at least still get to have dinners. So that's nice.
Yeah. Sean's joy is that we still get to have Easter worship. We still get to see our family. We still get to celebrate this very special day in the life of our congregation. And I echo his joy for that. I'm grateful that even though we're doing this in a new way, we are still able to gather together and celebrate. All right, with that, let us transition to our call to worship. Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. In the one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. We are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Friends, at this time, we are going to have our opening hymn. The way that this is going to work is that Cliff is going to mute everybody but Mickey. Mickey is going to play, and we are going to sing the hymn from our, wherever we are. We should all know this hymn. It is Jesus Christ is Risen Today. Go ahead, Mickey. Friends, at this time, I invite you to join with me for our prayer of confession. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed, and grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Hear the good news. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Join with me now as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, in Jesus Christ you taught us to pray and to offer our petitions to you in his name. Guide us by your Holy Spirit, that our prayers for others may serve your will and show your steadfast love. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, let us pray for the world. Lord, as the coronavirus continues to ravage our world and our communities, we pray that you would send a cure to this virus quickly. Lord, we pray that Lord, we pray especially and lift up to you countries of our world that do not have adequate health systems, where the virus is spreading rapidly because people are living on top of each other, and where people don't have the option to socially distance. Lord, we also pray for our church. On this, the holiest and happiest day of the Christian year, we gather together virtually, but we gather together because we know that your church is not the building, that your church is the people and the relationships that bind us together. In the midst of this wild and crazy time, we thank you for this reminder. Lord, we also pray for those who govern us. Lord, we don't envy the decisions that our leaders must make in the coming days and weeks and months as they try to keep us safe. Lord, we pray that you would give them wisdom and courage to meet this moment. Lord, we also pray for our world leaders. We pray that they would be in dialogue with one another, that they would work together to share resources so that everyone can receive care. Finally, Lord, we pray for the sick. Lord, we lift up to you Mark, who is at Passavant right now, fighting this virus. We pray for Kathy, that you would heal her back. We pray for her Uncle Wade. But Lord, in the midst of this unusual Easter, we have many joys to share with you. We are grateful for the ways that we are able to gather, even though we are apart. We thank you for the creative solutions we have found to keep our coveted Easter traditions alive. Lord, we thank you that in the midst of uncertainty, you are constant. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to God. God of compassion, bless us and those we love, our friends and families, that drawing close to you, we may be drawn closer to each other. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Friends, in a moment, I am going to invite Mark to play our offertory music. While he is doing that, I have some questions that you can reflect on. And these questions are based on the sermon. So the first question is, what are you afraid of today? And the second question is, how might you share the good news of Jesus with others during this time of social distancing? So I'm going to mute myself and invite Mark to play. Go ahead, Mark. Thank you. Arlie, I invite you to unmute yourself and read our scripture reading.
Scripture reading today is Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. Jesus has risen. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Lord, bless the reading of today's word.
Friends, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning is the story of the first Easter morning. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, go early in the morning to Jesus's tomb. They go to prepare his body for burial in accordance with Jewish customs. At the tomb, an angel of the Lord comes down from heaven and rolls back the stone. Jesus isn't there. The angel tells the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him.'" If we back up a minute in the story, you'll remember that Mary Magdalene and Mary were present for Jesus's crucifixion. They watched the nails pierce his hands and his side. They watched him breathe his last. They know that he died. That's not the part that scares them. What scares them is that the tomb is empty. Because if the tomb is empty, it means that Jesus is God. Because only God has the power to rise from the dead. The angel of the Lord tells the women to go quickly and to tell Jesus's disciples that Jesus has risen from the dead, and that he will see them in Galilee. The women, afraid yet filled with joy, hurry from the tomb to go and tell the disciples. The disciples, hearing the news, rush and go meet Jesus. They bow down and they worship him. Jesus tells them to go and to gather others and to meet him in Galilee, so that they can be commissioned to share this good news with all of the nations. What struck me as I read through this familiar text is how God continues to call ordinary people to bear the good news of Easter. Remember how Jesus's story started? It started with another angel telling Mary that she was going to bear a son and that he was to be called Jesus, Emmanuel. Remember that Mary was just an ordinary woman. When it came time to announce Jesus's resurrection from the dead, the angel of the Lord does not appear to Jesus's disciples, men respected in the community. No, the angel comes to women tasked with the ordinary work of preparing a body for burial. These ordinary women become the first preachers of the gospel, the first ones to share the good news of Jesus with others. Christ is risen. Christ defeated death. Come and see that our God is alive. I was also struck this morning with the fact that the good news of Easter, Christ has risen from the dead, this good news remains unchanged across all of human history. But how we share that good news changes depending on what part of human history we're living in. In the ancient Near East,
I didn't get that.
Sorry. The angel of the Lord appears to women coming to prepare a body for burial because that was the most efficient way to get the news out into the community. But if we tried to get the message across this way today, it would not be as efficient because we live in a different moment in human history. There's no denying that we're living in a strange moment in human history. To help slow the spread of COVID-19, Pennsylvanians are ordered to stay at home as much as possible. This morning, our churches are celebrating Easter virtually instead of in our sanctuaries. Both of our churches have had to learn new ways to share the good news of Easter with one another, as our usual ways of celebrating are just not available to us right now. One of the ways that I'm navigating this strange moment in human history is by reading a biography of my favorite theologian, Mr. Rogers. This book is called The Good Neighbor, The Life and Work of Fred Rogers, and it was written by Maxwell King. One of the things that I'm learning as I read this book is that Mr. Rogers lived during a transitional period in Pittsburgh's history. When he was born in La Trobe in 1928, Pittsburgh was at its peak as an industrial steel town. His father was a successful businessman, and Fred enjoyed an affluent, albeit lonely, childhood. Fred's family belonged to First Presbyterian Church in La Trobe, and his family was known for generously supporting the various ministries of the church. In fact, the Presbyterian values, hard work, responsibility, and caring for others, parsimony, duty to family, ethical clarity, a strong sense of mission, and a relentless sense of service to God drove every moment of Fred's life. It didn't surprise anyone when Fred decided to become a Presbyterian minister. He wanted to honor his family's dedication to faith and service by answering God's call to pastoral ministry. But when he was ordained in 1963, Pittsburgh was a very different city than it was in 1928. Manufacturing was on the decline. Fewer and fewer families were able to survive without two incomes. So children were finding themselves with more and more time at home alone. Plus, there was this new technology, television. While many Christians at that time refused to embrace this new technology, Fred saw it as an opportunity to teach children how to be kind, compassionate, thoughtful members of our world. So instead of becoming a traditional pastor, Fred became a televangelist for toddlers. He often referred to the space between the child and the television as holy ground. I've been thinking a lot about Mr. Rogers during this strange moment in our history. How can we, like Mr. Rogers, look at the world around us, acknowledge that it's changing, and use this as an opportunity to share the good news in a new way? One way that our world is changing is that we're all realizing that the church is not the building. It is the people, and it is the relationships among the people. I see this in both churches' willingness to learn new technology. Technology that is allowing us to see each other's faces and hear each other's voices when we can't be in the same room with one another. I see this in the sacrifices you all are making in continuing to send your donations into the church so that we can continue to pay our staff. I see this in your faithfulness in checking in with folks, folks that you know are maybe alone or sick or scared. These small acts of kindness are powerful witnesses to the good news of Easter during this strange moment in our history. Friends, my hope for you this day is that you will continue to find creative ways to celebrate the good news of Easter. Whether you're FaceTiming family, whether you're hiding Easter eggs in your living room, or whether you're maybe learning to cook Easter dinner for the first time while you watch YouTube videos, I invite you to embrace the creativity the season of life requires, knowing that we, like the first disciples, were created to do tough things, that God is going to continue to call us to do tough things, and that because of Jesus, we can do those tough things. Friends, happy Easter. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, at this time, I invite you to join us for our closing hymn, Christ is Risen, Shout, Hosanna. Thank you. friends, let me say a word of blessing before we go from this place. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has a plan and a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen. This concludes our Easter worship service. I am going to leave the meeting open until about 11:30 if people would like to stay and chat with one another. I invite you, if you would like, to go make yourself another cup of coffee, if that is helpful to you. But go in peace, friends. Happy Easter.